Jersey. myself within us. We might be filled by thee.
Amen.
Into that
great corporate vessel.
Amen.
Filled with God exclusively.
Time, there is a process.
Amen.
Time for his accomplishment.
Amen.
And in time, we're merely travelers.
Amen.
For eternity, we're men.
Amen.
In time, we're merely travelers.
Amen.
For eternity, we're men.
Amen.
All creation gives the setting.
Amen.
Heaven and earth are for this plan.
Amen.
Dispense yourself into us.
Amen.
Amen. We're hauling for thy purpose.
Amen.
Oh Lord, your goal came.
Amen.
Lord, increase thyself within us.
Amen.
That we might be built by thee.
Amen.
Built by thee into your body, Lord.
Amen.
Life, but use your body, Lord.
Amen.
God is now his plan fulfilling.
Amen.
Finishing what he's begun.
Amen.
God has worked in three directions.
Amen.
For his plan so marvelous.
Amen.
As the Father, Son, and Spirit.
Amen.
To dispense himself to us.
Amen.
All creation gives the setting. Heaven and earth are for this plan. Tis for this God made a body, soul and spirit, free for man.
Calling on the name of Jesus,
Jesus.
Makes our spirit one with his. From the center to circumference, God would saturate each part.
No one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We call on him.
Praise the Lord for God's eternal purpose.
Amen.
How about let's sing another hymn together? Number 602. How glorious, how holy God is the eternal life.
Amen.
How mysterious, yet how real. God himself now flows in you.
Amen.
Mercy.
glorious.
Yes.
Oh, how precious.
Yes.
Thus the triune God to know.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Lord, for convicting and inspiring us. How approachable.
Amen. Yeah. Hear us. God in Christ, our life to be.
Amen. Oh, what wonder as the Spirit. God as life to man is shown. It's his other transformation. He as Spirit thus is known.
Let's have some prayer, both for the release of the word and for the receiving of the word.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we do pray, release your word.
Amen.
What is in your heart as the word of God.
Amen.
Infuse us tonight, Lord.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, we do pray for the releasing of your word.
Amen.
And your utterance.
Amen.
Are receiving, Lord.
Amen.
You say your words were found.
Amen.
We need your word tonight.
Amen.
Right, Lord Jesus, show us that your grace is sufficient for us, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, you called us to this place to bring glory and honor to us, Lord.
Amen.
Words of Brother Ricky speak will be spirit and life.
Lord.
Amen.
Speak to us today.
Amen.
Saturate us, Lord.
Amen.
Permeate us, Lord.
Amen.
Dispense yourself into us, Lord.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Open our heart and drink.
Well, greetings, saints. It's good to see so many of you once again. Our topic for this weekend, as you can see, it's listed there as the general subject, God's dispensing for God's economy. Can we say that together? Can we read that together? God's dispensing for God's economy. And actually, to be more precise, to convey the burden that's in my heart, I was thinking of changing this, but I didn't want to, because we actually picked this up from the recent training for the responsible brothers. It was actually a longer title than this, But this phrase was there, God's dispensing for God's economy, right? It was actually the ministry of God's word and God's dispensing God's economy. So I didn't want to change that. But actually, my burden is God's dispensing for God's economy in our daily life.
Amen.
Yeah. So you could put that there, or put in parentheses, but that's the burden. God's dispensing for God's economy, right, in our daily life.
Yeah.
If you like to get more specific, you can say, in my daily life.
Yeah,
yeah. That's the takeaway that I hope on Lord's Day afternoon, you leave here with. That this, everything we're sharing, is for your daily life. I hope you could see that. I hope we could enter into that. God's dispensing for God's economy in our daily life, or in my daily life. And this is really a continuation of the burden that we had in our recent, in February, the International Chinese Speaking Conference. Now, I don't know how many saints were there or got to see those messages. Actually, from my observation, that's the one conference that gets the least amount of play for in the whole recovery. We have the seven big conferences, right, or trainings. We call the seven feasts. And sometimes I've noticed that one is the least attended or the least watched or the least heard. So I don't know how many of you, maybe you all saw, got those messages. But that was on, I want to give you the full title, because those of you that got into it, you know this was on Noah, Daniel, and Job, which is a very interesting combination. Noah, Daniel, and Job. If that were not in the Bible, it's in Ezekiel 14. If that were not in the Bible, I don't think I ever would group these three men together. Yeah. Maybe Noah and Daniel. Actually, I have grouped them together in the past. But I never put Job into that combination, into that mix. So the full title was this. This is the general subject of we have a lot of, what do you call them? Acronyms? Acronym, right? When you go by letters, first letters. We have a lot of acronyms in the Lord's Recovery. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so we call this this code name, ICSC. People say, what's that? This is the International Chinese Speaking Conference. ICSC. Oh, somebody just said, I see. Yeah, ICSC. Anyway, Noah, Daniel, Job. Dash. Patterns of living an overcoming life on the line of life to fulfill the economy of God. That's an outstanding title. I'm going to read it again. Noah, Daniel, and Job. Patterns of living an overcoming life on the line of life to fulfill the economy of God. And as I said, I know that I would never group those three men and their stories together were it not in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Twice. I mean, like, their names are mentioned twice and they're referred to several times. Ezekiel 14. You can go read it there. I'm not interested in rehashing that or what my point is this. What we saw in that conference was why? Why were these three men put together? I mean, we should ask that. If you're reading the Bible, and God's, you know, because God is giving, actually it's very interesting, four great judgments on his people. Did you know that in that chapter, again, Ezekiel 14, verse 3, has this very particular verse that I remember when I read this, even as a teenager, I thought, oh, I didn't know this was there. Because it says, these people, I'm talking about the Jewish people, the children of Israel, have idols in their hearts. See, I didn't know that in the Old Testament they had idols in their hearts. I thought that's a New Testament thing. I thought in the Old Testament it's only physical idols. But this verse says that God saw these people have idols in their hearts, and therefore many things happen. And so God was going to judge four judgments, and they're listed there. And then he says, even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, even if these three men were there, they would only save their own souls. Not the people, not even their own children. Okay, you say, oh, amen. You know, when I was younger, I would just read, oh, amen. So those three men are holy men or whatever. But honestly, when I was a teenager, I would read that and it never made an impression. I didn't stop. That was a little later in life. I would stop and say, why? Why these three men? And then, sorry, I've apologized to Job many times in the last few months, but I would question, why Job? And so, kind of with that attitude. Do you understand? I don't know if some of you have the same, you know, question. But why Job? Sorry, Job. But Noah, yeah, Noah, Daniel, Job. And then even the order is wrong in time, chronologically. The order is wrong. Daniel should be at the end. But why these three? Why Job? And why that order? These are questions like we should. But actually, the answer that was given in that conference is this, and that is, the matter of the triune God pervades all the scriptures. And these three names actually allude to the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Noah, and again, I'm not, my point is not, and I don't intend to repeat that conference, or you need to go there to dig up the riches to see. But Noah points to the Father as the planner. You know, Noah, he had to, you know, that ark. And then Daniel points to the Son. That's easy to see because the book of Daniel is filled with Christ. It's filled with Christ. I mean, the prophecies concerning Christ, the man, he's, you know, in so many coming, the coming king, and also points very much to the second coming of Christ. Actually mentions both his first coming and his second coming. And so much of what we know, like the reason we know we are in the last days is because of Daniel. When you read in his, you know, in chapter 7, in chapter 8, 9, 10, 11, you read those chapters and they point to the coming Christ. And when you really dig, you realize we're right there. So Daniel is easy to see, points to Christ. Job points to the transforming work of the Spirit, working in his life. Just like Jacob. See, we're not that familiar with Noah, Daniel, Job, but we're very familiar with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And these three names represent the same thing. It's easy, right? It's easy to see how Abraham points to the Father. Isaac points to the Son. He's the one who he was sacrificed, right, for us, right? And then he received the Gentile bride. You know, there's so many in Isaac. And he's the enjoyer, and he's the enjoyer, right? He points to grace, right? Isaac and grace go together in the same sentence, right? And actually, tonight's this message that we're tonight, this outline, which is for both tonight and tomorrow morning, it says it there, right? For sessions 1 and 2. Well, it may end up being session 3 and 4 too. But anyway, we'll see. We're gonna see how it goes. This is not a training, so we're just gonna be flexible. Right. Okay, but the this message based on actually one verse to tonight, 2 Corinthians 13:14. That is what the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. See, grace and Christ are together. So Isaac points to grace. He's the inheritor, right? He's the inheritor. all the riches, right? Okay. And then Jacob, clearly, the supplanter, heel holder, right? That's what his name means, heel holder. When you look at his life, what you see is the transforming work, a type of the transforming work of the Spirit. That a heel holder, a supplanter, a trickster, a conniver could wrestle with God, be touched by God, have a different walk with God. You know, he was limp after that. He had a different walk with God from that transaction with God. And his name was changed to Israel, which is actually a double meaning. Wrestler of God and Prince of God. So he became one reigning in life. And then at the end of his life, he's not supplanting, he's just blessing. Right? That's what you see at the end, blessing. And then he's reigning through Joseph. So Abraham, Isaac, Jacob point to the triune God. Noah, Daniel, Job point to the triune God. Jacob's life, Job's life, you could see so many things in there that you could see the hand of God in their environment in so many ways. It's just easy to see this. And the result at the end of Job's life was, I've heard of you, right? I've heard of you. That's chapter 42. I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear. But now, my eye sees you. Okay. And in the New Testament sense, seeing God is gaining God. Okay. But in Job, and again, this is all that we saw in that conference. I hope I'm whetting your appetite to go back to that conference. So in the book of Job, actually, the key verse is not this one. This is the one that most people know, believers know. It's Job 42:5. But that's the result. That's what God was after. But the key verse is actually Job 10:13. Job 10:13. And that verse says something like this. It says, I know that this is in your heart. Job is, he's talking about, God, you have something that's hidden in your heart, but I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I want to find it to quote it. 13. But you have hidden these things in your heart. I know that this is with you. So, you know, Job had all these transactions with God. Things were happening and a lot of negative things there. And the friends, not only his friends, his wife. Curse God and die. What kind of encouragement is that from your wife? Curse God and die already. You know, and the friends, they were very good until they opened their mouths, right? They came and sat. I forget how long they sat there for a while, yeah. And they sat and no one said a word. That's good shepherding. That's good shepherding. Sometimes we try to say it's downhill from there. The best is just go be with someone. Just sit there. You don't know what to say anyway. Anyway, so, but then eventually Job says this, but you have hidden these things in your heart. I know that this is with you. So what this means is he's telling God, you know, all the calamities that were happening, you know, his children, they died and he lost so many things. And then eventually, you know, and then... This was, I don't want to get into it. It takes too long. But, you know, God and Satan talking there. So what is this all about? I said, God, you had him right there. Just, you know what I mean? Did you ever think this? God, you know, it says the sons of God, which is the angels, parading in front of God. And here comes Satan. I read this. What are you doing there? And then comes Satan. And then he says, where have you been? I'm paraphrasing. But he says, where have you been? Oh, from going to and fro on the whole earth. And then God said, have you seen Job? God got Job in trouble. Do you understand? If he had not said this, somewhat boasting about Job, maybe Satan would not have bothered. Have you seen my servant Job? Oh, he follows you only because you bless him. He says, oh, go ahead, do something. But don't touch him, not his body, the first time. So he goes. And then he comes back, and I'm thinking, God, you had a wonderful opportunity just to end the whole thing right there. And you let it go. But do you see, there's something hidden in God. What I just said is that response that I had, that God, you let Satan get away. See, that was with no vision of God's economy. Because God had not accomplished what he wanted to accomplish in Job. So he kept Satan around to use him to do something to help God's his own purpose. Okay. So then he comes the second time. And have you seen Job? Oh, he says, that's because you didn't let me touch him. He said, oh, really? Again, the Bible doesn't say, oh, really. I'm paraphrasing. But something like this. It's like, okay, then, go. But, don't kill him. Oh, if Job only knew that these conversations are going on, right? And so, anyway, he goes, and then the whole story. So, finally, in chapter 10, God, I know that this something is hidden in your heart. Do you see how we got there? Yeah. He's saying, Lord, I know all this is for a purpose, but I don't know what it is. So in Job, the book of Job presents to us two questions. Actually, what you can see in Job is the great question. Why? What is God's purpose in creating man? And what is God's purpose in dealing with his people? This is spoken about in university classes. You know what I mean? In philosophy classes, this is spoken about. People don't know. People don't know. There's a great question. God, you have this hidden in your heart. And even though Job says at the end, now my eye sees you. Actually, you know when the question got answered? You know where the great answer is? It's in Ephesians chapter 3. Paul answered the question. Like thousands of years later. Because Paul says, you know what Paul says in chapter 3, verse 9, Ephesians 3, 9. He says, Ephesians 3, 9. You're familiar with this verse. And to enlighten all, that they may see what the economy of the mystery is, which throughout the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things. Do you see when you put Job 10:13 together with Ephesians 3:9, you have the great question and the great answer. There's a great question. Why God? Have you never asked why God? Something happened in your life? You never asked, oh, why? Or, why me? Or, why now? Or, why not him? How come it's always me? It's not him, it's not her. Like, everybody is so blessed. Actually, you don't know anything, because they're in their house saying the same thing. Why not him? Like, all of us think, why me? Because we don't know what the others are really going through. The great question. Brothers and sisters, we're not alive at the time of Job. We're alive in the New Testament age. We have the answer. The answer has been already for 2,000 years. The answer is to enlighten all that they may see what the economy of the mystery is. You know the word economy? Economy. We know this. Many of us know this already. This is in the Greek, oikonomia, which is God's household arrangement. God's household arrangement. But brothers and sisters, this is not for Bible study. This is not for just training. This is for our daily life. What does that mean? God's arrangement, God's economy. That means this. You know, that word is I think in the same chapter, in verse 2, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of the grace of God. And this word stewardship is the same word, oikonomia, but it's translated not as the thing, economy, it's translated as the person. Because in the economy, in God's household arrangement, the picture is, now you have a big household, and this was the case in olden time when you have generations living together. Mostly in America, we don't have this. We might have the most 3 generations living together. Even 2 generations, you know, it becomes not that common. But you might have 3 generations. But in those cases, in olden times, sometimes you had 5 generations together. And there are some cultures like this, even till today, around the world. And so when there's a big household, you need a steward to administrate mainly what? Food. To make sure all 30 members of the household get fed. So that there's an arrangement. You know, if it's just you and your wife, you don't need that much arrangement. If you have 10 people, you need an arrangement. Suppose you have 20 people, you need an arrangement. Even you have to consider, is there enough? Where are they going to sit? Where are they going to sit? Are we going to sit around the table, or will we sit in the living room, or, you know, do buffet style? And come. So you make an arrangement when there's more people. Okay, God has billions of children. So he has an arrangement. He has an arrangement. But the centerpiece of this arrangement is food. Himself is food. So the key, when you talk about God's economy, is just this one word, dispensing. It's all about dispensing. So when we say God's dispensing for God's economy, this is what we're talking about. God wants to dispense himself into you, into him, into her, into me, into each of us, to accomplish his economy, his purpose, to get his goal. And so Job, Noah, Daniel, Job, it just shows us this. In the whole Bible, you see the same thing. The triune God for dispensing. The triune God for dispensing. Actually, the triune God is the structure of the whole Bible. When you have these kind of like eyeglasses, you start to see the triune God everywhere. So we're going to do that. We're going to try to do that. And as we go along. Okay, now let's come to the outline. And we could read the title. This is the eternal blessing that could read together.
The eternal blessing of the triune God, dispensing himself into us.
Do you see the twofold purpose? One is for our enjoyment, but that's just the kind of byproduct. The real point is the accomplishment of his economy. The triune God blessing us, dispensing himself into us, will get us to the goal, to get us to God's goal. But maybe I'll just make this one point before getting into the real burden. Saints, this is the eternal blessing of the triune God. Whenever we are in the dispensing, whether that is here or at home or on the drive home or back in class on Monday or at work on Tuesday, whenever we open to God's dispensing, that makes that moment have eternal value. We have eternal value. Time, we're going to get into this in just a minute or two. Time was invented for this. Okay. In your outline, you have Roman 1. And then I really want to start with the second part of point D. 1D. It starts like, the part, point D starts, God's intention in his economy, are you with me? Yeah, is to dispense himself in his divine Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, into his chosen people. Could we read the next phrase together? God's only goal in time. Did you get that? I hope that can sink in a little bit. God's only goal in time. God, please think about it. Think about it. God's only goal in time is to dispense himself into us day by day. The hymn, the first hymn that we sang was 1325. About God's purpose. God eternal has a purpose. I think many of us enjoyed overflowing that. It starts like this. God eternal has a purpose formed in his eternal past, spreading to eternal future. Twixt, it's very poetic. I never used the word twixt in a conversation in my whole life. Twixt these ends, all time is cast. For with time, there is the process, time for his accomplishment. And in time, we're merely travelers. For eternity, we're meant. Is it okay to write on here? Okay. Many of you have seen this kind of depiction before. We have eternity past, and then we have eternity future. We even have if you have the recovery version, New Testament of the Bible, in the recovery version, in Matthew 5, if you have the one that has footnotes in it, in Matthew 5, there's a diagram with six circles. I don't know if you've seen that. And so each of these is a circle, right? Full circle. But the first one is eternity past. So I like to depict it this way because it's open. Yeah, that way. And then there's the age of the fathers, right? The patriarchs, age of law, age of grace, and the age of the kingdom. Okay. But I don't want to be that complicated tonight, so I'm just going to do this. Yeah. Time. We're here in time. The meeting was starting at 7. We made arrangements to try our best to get here at 7 because we're in time. Okay, so, I have to be here. Some of us came at 6:30 to pray. So we made an arrangement. We have to leave by such and such a time. So early in the afternoon, it was decided, okay, what about food before? So, and so everything's time. Our whole life is time. And then we can't go, we can't spend too much time, we can't meet too long because we have children here. And they can't handle if you go too long in time. Like time. Time to go to bed. It's time for this, time. We are in time. We are beings in time and space. God is not. God is eternal. I can't even fathom that. If you think about it too hard, your head starts to hurt. What is eternal? We can't even think like that because that's not the dimension we're in. We're in time and space. But you know, once upon a time, there was no time. And I don't even know how to say it to be accurate because I don't know what terms you speak in when it's totally eternal because I don't know that. But in eternity past, God decided, I have my heart purpose. And that purpose will be accomplished no matter what and no matter who. Just no matter. It's going to be accomplished. Yeah. But he also decided it would be through human beings with three parts. I mean, the song goes into the whole thing. But for that, he had to create the dimension of time. But time is not just so that we could exist and live. Because God's only goal in time is to dispense himself into us. Day by day. And we measure time by days, right? Of course, by minutes, hours, and so on. But days. God has one goal for this day. That once you wake up, before your head hits the pillow that night, he would have dispensed himself into you as much as possible. That's what this day is for. That's whether you are healthy and at work, it's a regular work day, you are a stay-at-home mom, you are a full-time student, or you're home sick in bed. His goal is the same. And his dispensing is not limited by whatever our situation is. Wherever we are, whatever we're facing, he still wants to dispense himself. So if we had the grace to say, Lord, this is really hard, what I'm going through. Even there, in the midst of that, whatever that is, and every one of us is going through something particular, but there, God still wants to dispense. That's our burden. How about we read this sentence again? God's only goal in time. Oh, I hope a phrase like this is worthy to spend a little time with the Lord, whether tonight, tomorrow morning, Lord, I want your only goal to be my only goal. I don't want to miss your goal. I don't want to miss your goal for my life. For my day. I don't want to have a day that has no eternal value. Yet I did many things, accomplished things. Even we could accomplish Christian things. Things for the Lord's work. You all know that. In Matthew 7, at the end, the Lord said, some will come and say, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Doing that in your name? And he'll say what? I never knew you. Depart from me, workers of lawlessness. How, you know, it's interesting. They said, Didn't we do this in your name? And the Lord Jesus didn't say, liar, no, you didn't. He acknowledged, okay, you did that. Oh, you did that in my name? In that, yeah, you did all those things in my name. But you never, as you were doing it, were an open vessel for my dispensing. It's possible, dear saints. That's to believers. That word is to believers. It's possible to serve. Be faithful in our service. No dispensing. Because our goal is different than God's. My goal is to have a good young people's meeting. My goal is to have a good lesson for the children. My goal is that the chairs would all be arranged really well. My goal is that the sound system would work. My goal is that the table would be set up and we have enough Bibles and everything's. And so all those things we must do. But don't forget that in the midst of all that, God actually only has one goal. And that's to dispense. First into me and then through me to other people.
Amen.
Oh, brothers and sisters. The Lord shows us this in many, many different ways. You know, he gives us that account. Martha and Mary. And Martha's doing many things. Many things. She's in arrangements. And we need the Marthas in the church life. We need practical people who get things done. We need that. But what does he say? She's chosen the better part, the good part. She was what was she doing? She was receiving dispensing through the word. She was paying attention to the most important part. So it's possible to do things for the Lord, but not with the Lord, in the Lord, by the Lord. We don't want that. We don't want to face him that day. And then we realize, oh Lord, I so many things I did for you, but not in the dispensing. I hope this little word, saints, could have some impact on us. How about we say it one more time before we go to the outline? God's
only goal in time is to dispense himself into us day by day.
Okay, now we go to Romans 1. The grace of the Lord, it's the verse. Let's read the verse together. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
And the love of God.
Amen. This is the eternal blessing of the triune God himself
into us for our enjoyment and the accomplishing of his economy.
You know, I think it's significant that this is how he closes, Paul, the Apostle Paul, he closes his letter to the Corinthians. Think about it. The Corinthians, the first and second book, they're so different. But remember, it's the same group of people that he wrote this to. In 1 Corinthians, we see what? I think it's 11 major problems among the saints. And actually, in the, excuse me, when giving the life study of 1 Corinthians, our dear brother Lee, he shared this. I remember, I was there. I read it not too long ago and had the opportunity to also share this, that our local church, none of us, our local church, is better than Corinth. Don't think your local church is better than Corinth. Our local churches are all Corinth. We're just Corinth. What does that mean? That means you can't get away from problems, situations. You know, once upon a time, I thought, oh, the church is paradise. Church is paradise. You should say, Brother Ricky, the church is paradise. But anyway, I thought the church is paradise. And then I saw a situation. Oh, somebody was accusing the church of being off and this and that and whatever. Like telling us, this is my first month in the church life. Why they're leaving. I'm thinking, they were sitting right behind, like they got up and announced in the Lord's table. Yeah. And I remember turning around a little bit because I didn't know these people. I looked and said, why would anybody leave paradise? I mean, that was, those were my inner words. I thought, this is paradise. Then I went on later on. And in the next few years, oh, I realized, wow, there's a lot of stuff going on here. Yeah. So, and then I thought, wait, is this the church? I don't know if any of you ever went through something like this. I thought, wait, could this really be the church? There's like all these things going on. And so anyway, then during that period of time, I was living in Southern California. I was in Irvine, California, in university. Brother Lee was, Brother Witness Lee, Brother Lee, he was traveling the churches. He visited during that period of time. I'm talking about the period of time of 1978, mostly, 1978, first half of 1978. And he was going through and visited almost every local church in North America. Well, in US and Canada at the time, he was going. And I got those messages, and I was in a number of those conferences that were given in Southern California. And I noticed that nearly every place that he went, he encouraged us, he was encouraging the saints to do three things. And this is like a practical application fellowship. A lot of the messages were on abiding, John 15, abiding. You can find those messages in a series called Life Messages. Not life study, life messages, you could see. And anyway, three things he told us. All the saints must read the Bible every day. Read the Bible. And he was encouraging trying to read like four chapters a day to finish in a year. Yeah, okay. And then he talked about you all should confess your sins. Everyone should confess their sins. And the third one was, have morning watch. Have, you know, what we call today morning revival, usually. A morning watch or personal time with the Lord. And then he recommended, this was long before we had these books called Holy Word for Morning Revival. It was long before that. And so he encouraged us. He encouraged us. How to have personal morning watch. Oh, I was in a meeting in Anaheim, this conference. And this was a very particular time also because sometimes Brother Lee would, I don't know if you were in some of those meetings, where Brother Lee would actually open the meeting for questions. You know, we were in school together. We were in Irvine. Yeah. I took him to his first meeting, right? Yeah, I took him to his first meeting. Then Brother Lee would open the meeting for questions and answers. Whoa, I never saw that before. And so one brother got up and said, Brother Lee, in this meeting, you just stressed that we should have personal morning watch. Personal morning watch. But in my, you know, my situation with my job, I need to leave for work at 6:30 in the morning. And so I think I've been part of a corporate morning watch group. In those days, we used to have like come together like at 6 a.m., 6:30, to have corporate morning watch in different neighborhoods. And we, even the high school kids, would do that. We'd go and we'd be there. And so this brother, very practical, says, I think I only have time for one, either personal or corporate. Which one should I choose? So Brother Lee gave this little analogy to answer the question. He said, well, personal morning watch is like you're taking a class in college, it's like the textbook. Textbook. Corporate morning watch is like the reference books. Do you get the point? Yeah. If you only had money to buy one, a reference book or the textbook, you buy the textbook. Yeah. So anyway, he's making this point. Okay. Then he told us the way to, like an encouragement, how to have morning watch. He says, what you can do is take a book in the Bible and just start with chapter 1, verse 1. And in the morning, pray one or two verses, no more than five. And just pray over them slowly, digest them. And so not to read chapter, but just to pray over. So suppose you take John. You take John 1:1 and 1:2 this morning. Yeah. Then the next morning, you could either start again in 2 or start with verse 3 and then go through the book. Okay. And so then I said, okay, which book should I take? Oh, Lord Jesus. So the Lord, I felt the Lord led me to 1 Corinthians. I didn't know 1 Corinthians has all these problems. So I'm prayer reading every. This situation that you're suing, this one's suing this one, and then there's fornication among you, and such as has not even mentioned among the Gentiles. Oh, amen. And, you know, so I'm just praying over and so on. But you know what I saw, saints? You know what I saw? That's still the church. I saw this as a college student. Paul still called that the church of God, which is in Corinth. Had all these problems. And his attitude in chapter 2 is, I desire to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and this one crucified. So how do you exist in such a place, problem, all these situations? Well, be someone who doesn't want to hear anything and only knows the cross. And you can survive there. And then in chapter 5, he says, keep the feast. So be happy there. You know, in 1 Corinthians 11 problems, there are at least 20 items of Christ manifested there that you hardly find in any other book. 20 items of Christ. So Paul was such a person that he was not distracted by what you could see. Remember, he says it in the second book, because the things you can see are temporary, but the things you don't see are eternal. Oh, saints, if you have that view in the church life, you'll be the happiest one in your local church. But coming back to my point and the outline, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, he ends the book with what? The eternal blessing of the triune God. So this to me shows this, saints, no matter what the situation is in the church, be in the dispensing. Amen. And affect as many people as you can to also be in the dispensing. Amen. Bring your local church into the eternal blessing. Amen. Brothers, bring your wives. Sisters, bring your husbands. Amen. We all do our best to bring our children. Amen. Saints in our group meeting, that's what we want for them. We're not here solving people's problems. We're here bringing them to the dispensing. Amen. The dispensing can solve their problems. Amen. That's how Paul ends the letter to this particular group of saints. I think that's precious. Okay, point A. The Holy Spirit, as the, notice these two words, the circulation, the transmission of the grace of Christ with the love of the Father is the supply in our Christian life and church life. The Holy Spirit. So it's the grace of the Lord, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, the fellowship of the Spirit, is the circulation, the transmission of the grace of Christ with the love of the Father. This is the supply in our Christian life and church life. These two words, circulation and transmission, they bring us to two illustrations. I think these are the best illustrations of the fellowship of the Spirit. One is, I'll talk about transmission first, electricity. You know, all these bulbs here, all throughout the whole hall, they are all in a fellowship right now. So there's something. We don't see it, we don't hear it, but there's something moving, racing through every one of them and reaching back to the power plant. I don't know where your power plant is, how far it is from this neighborhood, but right now that bulb and that bulb, they're in fellowship. And they're in fellowship with the power plant. Actually, that shows what we'll see later as the vertical fellowship, horizontal fellowship, an interwoven fellowship. That's a picture. That's a picture. Right now, sitting in this meeting, you also should be in that fellowship. As I'm speaking, I need to make sure I'm still in that fellowship. I don't know if you ever had this experience. Maybe you're sharing a little word in your group meeting, or on the Lord's Day, you're speaking something, right? Prophesying to the saints. And then as you're speaking, you speak for a minute, minute and a half, and then something inside, just something changes. Something, we describe this way, I lose the flow. Have you never lost the flow while you were speaking? What do you do? The best would be sit down. Thank you. That would be the best. Okay. Or at least adjust your way. You have to adjust yourself. But the simplest is just sit down. Just sit down. Because whatever else you say, to try to make it like land well, you know what I mean? You know, when you're flying an airplane, the most accidents are takeoff or landing. Yeah. When you're flying, it's easy. You can put on autopilot. You just need to make sure you have gasoline. Yeah, that'd be a problem. But yeah. And then you try to, you know, I don't know what else to say, but it's best. Honor the saints by shutting up. Because you bless them with the Spirit. If you have no Spirit left, then there's no blessing. Just let someone else. Yeah. Okay, so I have to exercise to make sure I'm flowing something. And sometimes it happens. You wanted to complete a point, but the Spirit inside is saying, that's enough. So we brothers, when we minister, we have to be like this all the time. But you also should be like this. And when you're like this, sitting there listening, but open to the Lord, that's why some phrases, one part of the message impresses you one way, impresses him a different way. And you have one of those moments. Do you have moments? Like something shared, and maybe you even say it out loud, but inside. Yeah. Oh Lord Jesus. Like something comes before you. Something, someone comes before you. And you realize, I need to deal with this. Now, you have that impression. I tell you, if you don't maintain this, that evaporates. And you miss an opportunity to really go deeper with the Lord. That was the word the Lord had for you in that meeting. So even as listeners, we should be like this. Okay, circulation. The point I want to make is, again, I don't know where everyone lives, but you live close by. Yeah, I'm pretty sure the same power plant that supplies this building supplies your house, right? Okay. Please notice this. I think many of you, okay, not if you live in Cheney. Maybe. I don't even know. But probably not if you live in Cheney. But if you live somewhere around, the same power plant that supplies this building supplies your home. Which means you're still connected to the same power plant here as you are at home. I think that's a nice picture. So saints. We need the eternal blessing here. We need the eternal blessing at home. Amen. And it's there all the time because we got blessed. Paul said, the grace, the love, the fellowship, be with you. He didn't say, be with you in the meeting. Be with you in the meeting hall. Just be with you. So wherever you are, the dispensing is. But why is our experience sometimes when we're at home when we're conversing, when the temperature is rising, the tone is changing. Why don't we realize at home, oh Lord Jesus, the love of God, the grace of Christ, the fellowship of the Spirit. Oh, I hope we would realize, Lord, even here, I'm connected to the divine power plant. Amen. I don't want lights out in my house. You know, sometimes there are blackouts. You know, I don't know if you've had any blackouts recently. You know, New York City history, the last 60 years, there have been, I think, three major blackouts where the whole city went dark. The whole city went dark. You know what happened? Chaos. Oh, it was terrible. The first one was, I was a child, I was about 8 years old when that happened. I still remember that because my sister was in the subway, like coming home from university. So, you know, we were concerned about her and so on. But the triune God, as the heavenly power plant, is supplying every local church. Amen. And every saint in every local church. And every family in every local church. Amen. We should never have the case where there's a local church where the lights are out. Amen. At the very least, your home should be lit. That's what Paul, you know, in Corinth, I think a substantial part of the church, lights were out. But Paul was writing to them. His light was always on. And he was bringing one brother, another brother, another sister, another family, lights. The lights were going back on. He wasn't condemning them. He was supplying electricity to them. He was ministering Christ to them, to each of their situations. And the lights went back on. So that's why at the end, he ends with the eternal blessing. Because by the end of 2 Corinthians, all the lights are back on. Oh, brothers, I hope we could learn how to do this in our local church, in our family. Saints, when we're at school, when we're at work, when we're at the supermarket, when we're driving, we're connected to the same power plant. Amen. The question is, are my lights on? We all have a switch. We all have a switch. There's no problem with the connection. Yes, there might be some insulation. That's why I appreciate Brother Lee's words. You know, those three points, read the Bible, confess your sins, have morning watch. That's what we share with the high schoolers, with the junior hires. And Brother Lee was sharing this with all the saints in all the churches. That shows you the lights were off. Because saints were in turmoil, you know. They were stumble. Oh, so these negative things that we didn't know. We were young. We didn't know how to handle. But saints, it should be, no matter what happens in the church life, in our family life, with our health, with our children, keep the lights on. Amen. It's possible to stay in the dispensing. Amen. Okay, what's B? Oh, I love this first phrase. The entire church life, amen, depends upon 2 Corinthians 13:14, which is the description of the divine and spiritual circulation within us. Saints, the entire church life depends on every saint under our care to be in the dispensing. I hope at least we pray for this. Lord, Lord, bless all the saints in my small group. Lord, bless all the saints in my service group. Oh, I'm so burdened for the service groups. Saints, all the service groups are excuses for building the church. We have to take care of practical things. We have to take care of the children. Actually, yes, certainly, because they're little, we see them as little beings of the New Jerusalem. But the goal of our service is not to have a good lesson. Not to have everything orderly in this. The goal of our service is building the church. And so for this, I need to make sure that all my serving partners are enjoying the Lord. So when we come together for any service, even if it's the elders' meeting, we should take care of one another's enjoyment of the Lord. And all I mean by that is when you come together, before talking, quote unquote, business, enjoy the Lord together. Don't, please. If there's not enough time, cut something else off. Not the enjoyment of Christ. Not the dispensing. That should be first. Even when the brothers meeting, yes, many things to talk. But, oh, sometimes we come together, I know, brothers want to talk. This, that, there's a big event coming, we have to have a lot of coordination, and sometimes the brother will say, let's sing another song. And that's wonderful. I know some brothers get frustrated with that. We enjoy the Lord too long. Praise the Lord. They're learning. The younger brothers are learning. Just follow our lead. It'll be fine. Whatever. It'll get done. It'll get done. Let's enjoy. Let's sing another song. Some brothers come with the agenda. They're Why? Because God's only goal in time is to dispense himself into us day by day. Okay, point C. The current of the divine Trinity as the inner circulation of the divine Trinity revealed in 2 Corinthians 13:14 is our spiritual pulse. Our spiritual pulse. You know, when you talk about the pulse, we have some doctor brothers among us here. Maybe sisters too, I don't know. You know, when you're a doctor, at least my experience, whenever I go to any doctor's appointment, first thing they do is really check your pulse. Wait? No, the thermometer? And then see your blood pressure, which is really, you know, pulse. If you don't have a pulse, then you know, I've seen, you know, through the years, you see TV shows or, you know, movies, whatever, and there's something happens, an accident, and somebody's there. And then the policeman goes, and they, he's gone. The first thing they do is check the pulse. Sometimes it's, he's still alive! You know, just, and then sometimes, they, no pulse, then you have to, you know, if you're equipped, is it a defibrillator? Yeah. Then you know, clear, you know, for what? To get the pulse back. Brothers, when the saints come to us, they think they have this problem, they think they have that problem. Actually, it could be no pulse. What we need to do is, we're just fellowshipping with them. I mean, we're just, yeah. You know, we're trying to bring them into the eternal blessing of the triune God. Because if they don't have this, nobody can solve their problem. But brothers, when we're shepherding people, and shepherding the young people, they face many things. But I tell you, the first thing is, you have to check. How's their fellowship? How's their fellowship with the Lord? Now, for the young, I don't mean that you. How's your fellowship with the Lord? I, that's not the way to do it. You understand? You scare them away. You know, how many times you have morning revival this week? That's not the way to shepherd people. But as you're fellowshipping, you have to exercise to see what is their spiritual pulse. Saints want to know, oh, what should I study? Where should I go for university? Should I migrate? Should I do this? Who should I marry? Is this the right one? House, is this the right house? You have so many decisions to make. Oh, I tell you, the first thing is not the decision. The first thing is the pulse. Is the triune God flowing in you? Is he flowing in you? Because if he is, God is light. He's not only love, he's also light. Light will come to you in fellowship. I don't know how many times I learned this. Thank the Lord. I'm so just thankful to the Lord. I didn't do this. This was just the Lord's arrangement. Even from a teenager, I had brothers to go to, older brothers to open up to. And the Lord let me pass through some experience. I got desperate, I didn't know what to do. And I thought, I don't know this guy, but that well, but he's really nice. And I tried. And so I remember I went to this one brother who, you know, he became my spiritual father until today, one of my spiritual fathers. And I remember I went to him after a meeting. Something happened Lord's Day evening. And Tuesday, I went to see him after the prayer meeting. And you know what he did? He rebuked me. He said, why didn't you call me on Lord's Day evening? Why did you wait so long? Yeah. I said, what is this? What is this? It's this man who's making himself available anytime if I need help. What is this? Is this the church life? That was my introduction into the church life. And anyway, I learned that we're here for one another. The brothers are here for me. I was like, even just that, like, solve my problem. You know what I mean? And so anyway, since then, I learned to just be open to the saints. And then some of them, their wives became my spiritual mom. Especially two of them, two brothers. I would go to them, and then their wives became my spiritual moms. So I would go and open to them. Most of the time, not a clear-cut answer to whatever it was. But when I left their presence, I had joy in my heart. And soon after, I knew what to do. The light came. It's not that people tell you what to do, give you advice. Yeah, it's good. Sometimes they have perspective that you don't see things. But whatever anyone says to us, we shouldn't just do it. We should just bring it back to the Lord so that the Lord confirms it. But that's my experience, saints. Light comes through fellowship. Light comes through fellowship. So saints, we need to make sure we have a healthy spiritual pulse. And that the saints around us, we do our best. At least pray for this. Maybe I can't help, but I can pray. I can pray. Okay, now point D. God's intention in his economy is to dispense himself in his divine Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, into his chosen people. Let's say the last one all together. God's only goal in time is to dispense himself into us day by day. And here we have Psalm 36, 8 and 9 as an example of that we see the triune God everywhere. It says, they are saturated with the fatness of your house, and you cause them to drink of the river of your pleasures, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Amen. So here we have the fatness of the house, the river of pleasures, and the life and the light. Surely the life and the light refer to God, God the Father. He's the fountain, right? That's what it said in Jeremiah. He says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. So surely the fountain of life is the Father. The river of pleasures, of course, that's the Spirit. Because the Lord Jesus said, if you come to him in John 7, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And this he said concerning the Spirit. So that's the Spirit. But fatness, the fatness of your house. How does this, could this be Christ? How does this refer to Christ? When you read it, you need a little background. We don't talk about this meeting hall is fat, right? Your house is fat. We don't talk about fat houses, right? So why does God's house have fatness? So you think about God's house is the tabernacle or the temple. Where do you have fat? You have fat in the offerings that are in the outer court on the altar. And that fat, when it's burned, it's a particular portion to God, right? And so the offerings, of course, typify Christ. So actually, the fatness here refers to Christ. The river to the Spirit. Fountain of life. In your light, we see light. That's God the Father. Even in this little psalm, one verse, two verses, the triune God is there. But for what? Not for theological understanding. It's for enjoyment. It's for dispensing. Okay. So then, from here, saints, the rest of this outline, which we're not going to touch tonight, it's this. Point two is, in order to enjoy the eternal blessing of the triune God, dispensing himself into us, we need to enter into and keep ourselves in the eternal love of God. Amen. So point two is the love of God. Point three talks about the grace of Christ. In order to enjoy the eternal blessing of the triune God dispensing himself into us, we need to enter into and keep ourselves standing in the grace of Christ, which is the triune God as our enjoyment. And then, Romans 4, in order to enjoy the eternal blessing of the triune God dispensing himself into us, we need to enter into and keep ourselves in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the inner flow of the divine life. So this phrase repeats. Enter into and keep ourselves. Enter into, keep ourselves. And this phrase, keep ourselves, this comes from Jude, the book of Jude, chapter, you don't talk about chapters when you talk about Jude. It's Jude, verses 20 and 21. I want to read this to you. But you, beloved, building up yourselves upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, awaiting the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Did you see the triune God there? Did you know the triune God is in Jude? You know, Jude talks about the end time and judgments. And here it says, praying in the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit's there. Keep yourselves in the love of God. God the Father is there. Awaiting the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Christ is there. So the triune God is there. But the key phrase is this. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep ourselves. Saints, we need to keep ourselves in the divine dispensing. But how do you do that practically? That's the burden of the rest of the outline. But the first thing, I won't get into it, but I just mentioned this. The first thing is, we need to keep ourselves in the love of God. Keep ourselves in the love of God. For us to say with these lips, Lord Jesus, I love you, is not a small thing. It's not a small thing. That keeps you open to the dispensing. You know, saints, all of us, sooner or later, we need the confirmation of the love of God. The affirmation of the love of God. Because the Christian life is not an easy life. Because Satan, his only goal in time is to interrupt that dispensing. Your receiving of that dispensing. He can't stop the dispensing, but he can interrupt your receiving the dispensing. And so things happen, just like we saw in Job. Things happen here and there. And sometimes the Christian life is a difficult, challenging life. And we're too occupied by the surrounding things. They weigh on us. We all go through this. We all go through this. And sooner or later, we come close to giving up. I know so many nearly every believer. At a certain time, you come to a point in your life, you feel, I don't think I can make it. Sometimes you feel, I don't want to make it. Something happens and our heart gets hardened toward the Lord. I know I experienced that. And then the love of God comes. Maybe we'll see how it goes. I might tell you an experience tomorrow. I wanted to give up. I wanted to run and hide. But Psalm 139 says, if I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you're there. Like up there, that's logical. I thought in Sheol, you know, in hell, I could get away from you. But how did you get there too? I don't know. But he doesn't let us go. I think many of us have experienced that. We tried. We could talk for hours trading stories of how we tried to get away from God. And somehow, his love won. His love came in. It could have been a meeting where we decided this is going to be my last meeting. You know, we're there. Yeah. And there, it could have been a Lord's table meeting, a hymn. It could have been a sharing from a little sister. It could have been a message, one part, just for you. And or you're out somewhere with friends trying to get away from God. Like Jonah. You know Jonah. God said, go to Nineveh. No, he went. He went the other way. And then God prepared a great fish. Came and spit him right here. God came to him. He was not happy. But whatever it is, sooner or later, we all need God to confirm his love to us. And he's faithful to do it because God is love. And it also says, Romans 5, the love of God has been poured out into our hearts. You know, no matter what you feel, whether it's overflowing in you tonight or not, actually means nothing. The Bible says the love of God is, your heart is full of the love of God tonight. Been poured out into your heart, not just dispensed, not just, you know, like a trickle, not just, you got a little of, it's poured out right now. So, saints, it is never hypocritical to say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Sometimes we would say, Lord, I love you, but oh, Lord, you know, I don't love you that much. And that's just the enemy just trying to interrupt the dispensing. Actually, we can at any time say, Lord Jesus, I love you, and it's reality. Amen. Amen. Okay, we'll stop here. How about we have a few prayers? Maybe some short prayers, together, out loud, some prayers. Then I don't know what the brothers would lead us.
Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Thank you for your dispensing tonight.
Amen.
Love you.
Amen.
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 God has only one goal in time.
Amen.
Lord, cause us to redeem the time.
Amen.
Oh, thank you. Your dispensing is not limited by our situation.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Lord, we love you.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for your heart of love for us.
Amen.
Always pouring out.
Amen.
Right, Lord, thank you that you are our spiritual pulse. Lord.
Amen.
Oh, keep our heart pumping and on fire for you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, keep us in the dispensing.
Amen.
Keep us.
Lord, thank you for the grace, love, and fellowship.
Amen.
Let us keep the Spirit here and at home.
Amen.
Lord, cause us to keep ourselves in your love.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, keep us in your love.
Amen.
No insulation.
Amen.
interrupting. Praise the Lord. Anyway, these words are so sweet, right? We've heard them before, but tonight and every time, may they be so fresh to us.
Amen.
I feel that's our brother's burden, that these words may just be fresh for our daily life. And I loved connecting those again, Job and Ephesians. That was just so enlightening. Realizing in Job, that you have hidden these things in your heart.
Yes.
Poor Joe, poor us. I mean, I still go to the Lord. Lord, I know this is for your dispensing. Yes. You know, we still are yearning and wondering why, but we just need to bring ourselves to Ephesians 3, right? And realize he wants to enlighten all.
Amen.
That they may see.
Amen.
And I think we do see some, brothers and sisters, right? Or we wouldn't be here.
That's
we'd be home. But we're here, but we want to see more.
Amen.
Oh, we really want to see this in our daily life.
Amen. Right?
We really want to see the dispensing. May they not be a form to us, brothers
Amen.
And sisters. May it not be a word
Amen.
We've heard for years. May it really be our touch
Amen.
With the triune God right there.
Amen.
Right. You know, I've used this phrase lately. I feel like I'm in a box. You know, and it's about this big. You know, that's about as big as it is. And I know, I remember about Noah's Ark, right? Not much room there, but there was a light. A skylight, right? Oh, Lord. So whatever situation is, we just need to find the Lord.
Amen.
He's available, and he wants to add his life right there in my wonderful little box.
Amen.
У Бога есть намерение и единственная цель.
God has a purpose and intention and his only goal.
Amen.
Раздавать себя своей...
is to dispense himself.
Своей Божественной Троице.
In his divine Trinity.
Amen.
Своему избранному народу.
Into his chosen people.
Amen.
Раздавать себя во времени и за дня в день.
To give himself to us in time, day by day.
Amen.
И нам, чтобы наслаждаться вечным благословением.
And for us to enjoy this eternal blessing.
Триединый Бог изливает себя в нас.
The triune God dispenses himself into us.
И нам нужно войти в вечную любовь.
And we need to enter into his eternal love.
И пребывать в ней.
And to abide in it.
Мы любим, потому что Он первый возлюбил нас.
We love because He loved us first.
И Он вселил в нас любовь, чтобы мы могли любить Его и братьев.
He sealed us with love so that we could...
чтобы мы могли любить Его и братьев.
So that we could love Him and the brothers and sisters.
Путь к жизни — это любовь к Господу.
Любовь к Господу. The way of life is the love of God.
И путь к любви Господу.
And the way to love the Lord.
Слушать Его голос и крепко держаться Его.
To listen to His voice and hold on to Him very strongly.
Твердым намерением в сердце.
Strong intention in our heart.
Нам необходимо быть постоянно верными Ему.
We have to always be faithful to Him.
Прикрепляться к Нему.
Hold close to Him.
И жить в тесном общении с Ним.
And to live in very intimate fellowship with Him.
И тогда, только тогда,
and then, only then,
Он будет нашей внутренней жизнью для переживания.
He will be our inner life for our experience.
Для наслаждения
и, for our enjoyment.
И выражения.
And for His expression.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. God just wants to dispense Himself into us.
Amen.
We're just travelers.
Amen.
We can turn every day. We can get out of time and into eternity.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we love Your dispensing right now.
Amen.
Amen. God only has one goal.
Amen.
I appreciate the picture of light because, and the switch also. Because, you know, when it's pitch black, you know, and you're searching around, trying to find the light switch, right? That's like us if we're completely away from God, right? And all we need to do is open our mouth, right? Oh, and there's a little bit of light and you see the switch and you go right for it. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
God is not only love, but He is light.
Yeah.
And I was, like, the past couple weeks, I've just been thinking, I mean, I'm graduating school, I'm working, all these things. There are so many things that I could do, like, in this upcoming year. And I feel like it was just, like, weighing me down. I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm just going to sleep all day, you know, all good. You know, because it's like, what do I do? Like, I don't know. There's no way. But I just, like, opened up to a sister, and I feel like that's like the least thing I want to do. Like, I just want to keep it to myself, like, struggle, right? But the second I opened it up, like, she didn't even give me an answer. She just related to how I was feeling. And I was like, this isn't just me. Like, I felt like I was crazy, you know? But, like, the enemy just wants, like, you to be so bogged down and, like, in your situation that you don't even think that, one, anybody else, like, understands, and two, that the Lord can come in, you know? And so, like, I was just, like, praying, like, Lord, just, like, I don't know. But I just, like, felt His love in that moment of, like, I don't really, like, I haven't really had many conversations with this sister, but, like, it was just, like, very, like, personal of, like, wow, you feel the exact same way. Like, that's crazy. Like, how? You know? And it just, like, brought me so much peace just knowing that. And it was, like, instant. And I was, like, oh, I'm fine. Like, you know, and the next day I was on cloud nine, but you know, it was just like really sweet, like, wow, there really is, like, the Lord has a way when we open to the body.
Yes.
And not only that, like, the sister texted me the other day, the next day I was like, if we don't open to each other, then we don't know how to pray for each other.
Right.
So on one hand, like, you kind of just have to lose face and admit that you're struggling and that you need help so that the body can pray for you and can cover you. Don't, then you don't have any covering. So I just appreciate that life will come with fellowship.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're not alone, sweetheart. You have us.
Amen. Hallelujah, saints.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord that we are strangers to this world. That we are the salt of the earth. And sometimes we might make people
people salty. You know, and that's not a bad thing. Sometimes food doesn't taste so good to people, but sooner or later, they realize how healthy it is for them. So yes, this grace is super abounding. It's all sufficient for us.
Amen.
You know, it demolishes the enemy. You know, it destroys the enemy. The enemy is depleted in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 There's a word for the word being dispensed into us tonight.
Amen.
Amen. I enjoyed the verses that were referenced in Jude. Now, Jude only has one chapter, but it's so sweet. But you, beloved, building up yourselves upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, awaiting the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Well, I a couple of things I enjoyed tonight. One is seeing that the Holy Spirit, brother Quinn, he said, the triune God pervades our scriptures. So the triune God is in so many books of the Bible, in so many verses, and it has to do with his dispensing.
Amen.
And then I enjoyed also in this message, the matter toward the end, just seeing in these verses in Jude, that it says, keep ourselves. Anyway, the outline has enjoy and keep, but I never saw that with keep. You know, we can enjoy the Lord's dispensing, but we're also exhorted to keep ourselves in the enjoyment of the dispensing.
Amen.
Yes, keep ourselves. The enjoyment of the dispensing.
Amen.
I was also very touched with this Job's experience. It's so crucial, it's so fresh. He prayed, Lord, I know there you have something that's hidden in your heart. I think we've all had situations where we feel like we don't understand it. We can't make our way. Yeah, but anyway, the Lord brings us back to what's on his heart.
Amen.
On his heart is just his dispensing into us.
Amen.
This has been really practical for me and my husband. We serve in Hungary, Budapest, Hungary, and many times there's situations. We don't know. We don't know how to handle it. We don't know how to take care of certain ones, you know. But the Lord always is drawing me. Just be in him. I don't know how to say it exactly, but I think you know what I mean. Just don't look. just like Paul, you know, don't determine to know nothing, but just Christ in that one. And pray. You know, we can pray for one another. I just find the Lord very intimately praying for others. And it surprises me. It's because he's such a wonderful person that loves his body, you know.
Amen.
He enables us to pray for one another in such a precious way. May he praise the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, I just appreciated this word about being an open vessel for the Lord's dispensing. You know, you never know what will happen, you know, even to others, because of your being open to the Lord's dispensing.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I came to the church life in 1978, and I had no idea, you know, until this brother spoke this message, that there was a lot of turmoil, you know, going on in him. You know, even he said there were brothers that were with me that I knew, and some were telling me to go this way, and some were telling me to go this way.
Yeah.
But you know what happened? This is what he said. I may have gotten it wrong, but he said, I went home for 1 to 2 hours and prayed day after day, reading and opening. So he was reading the messy church life from Corinthians. He said, eventually through all that opening, the Lord told me to stay in the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. And then he asked me, were you in those meetings? I said, no, I wasn't in those meetings, because I found out about it much later. And he said to me, oh yeah, you missed all that. Missed all that, you know. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, one time I remember I was mad because I didn't, you know, I said to the Lord one time, I said, Lord, you know, I was only 20 miles away from the brothers speaking all these riches. How come you didn't bring me in sooner, like in 1975? Then I realized, probably, you know, I wouldn't have been able to stand what this brother was able to stand. I didn't have the understanding or the growth. But I just realized, you know, because he stood and he opened to the dispensing, he took me to the first ministry station where all of a sudden my eyes were opened completely. And many questions that I had were spoken. The answers were spoken in one message. Yeah. You know, and so you know, you never know. As long as we keep open to the dispensing, you could affect others, and you don't even know.
Yeah.
Right? You don't even realize, you know. But because you're open, the Lord can do something.
Amen.
So, you know, you get a little bit of shepherding here and a little bit of shepherding there, and the more shepherding from the more people, and the more ones we open to the Lord, the Lord is very faithful to his word.
Amen. You know? Amen.
Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
God created time for the fulfillment of his heart's desire.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So whatever time we have, wherever we are, in the middle of whatever we're facing, God wants to dispense himself into us.
Amen.
For the fulfillment of his purpose.
Lord
Jesus. I love that phrase. Whenever we open to God's dispensing, that moment has eternal value.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And all our dispensing is to me for you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. How about we read Roman numeral 1, point D, the last phrase.
Amen.
Starting with God. Okay.
God's only goal in time is to dispense himself into us day by day.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we'll stop the meeting here. And tomorrow we will have two meetings, one at 10 o'clock and one at 1 p.m. And in between those times, we will have a meal together, probably around 12, right? So that will be our agenda for tomorrow. We're just so thankful we're all here and getting calibrated to what God's only goal in time is.
Amen.